You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, the big talk is that IMF loan. Yesterday, the IMF approved a $4.3 billion emergency financial assistance loan under the Rapid Financing Instrument to support South Africa and the country's efforts in addressing the challenging health situation and economic impact thanks to COVID-19. Now, to talk about what this involves, no strings or strings and all, and all the structural and not so structural elements to it, and whether or not we can avoid repeat visits to the IMF in future, I'm joined now by Standard Chief Economist Kevin Lings. Evening, Kevin.
Evening, Michael.
Now, it's important to understand what this facility is. It's not the old structural adjustment programs, the SAP programs of the IMF. This is a special facility designed to assist countries dealing with COVID. What are the terms of this loan?
That's right, Michael. It's a facility that came about under COVID-19 funding from the IMF. In other words, the IMF quickly realized that many countries are going to need financial assistance. They set aside a significant amount of money, which I think has been actually topped up. And then they've made that available in various types of finance to countries that then need some sort of assistance. Obviously, the different categories of finance that the IMF provides, this particular type of finance is really with very limited conditionality. Most of the time that you're accessing IMF funding, you normally have got some very significant financial constraints. The IMF is therefore willing to assist, but they want to see that those constraints are rectified and that you're implementing sound policy. So they typically attach a whole range of conditions. And the pattern with that type of finance is that the money flows in tranches. So you would get the first tranche of the finance and then have to do certain changes within your economy. And if you don't make those changes, then you don't get the second tranche. And so it carries on. So in effect, the money gets held back until you are making the economic policy changes. In this instance, none of that applies. What applies here is the IMF provides us with a certain amount of money, $4.2 billion. That is given to us in one lump sum. It's transferred through the Reserve Bank to the South African government. What the government has to do is sign a letter of cooperation with the IMF, and essentially that letter spelled out in fairly general terms the types of policies that the government intends to follow, and those policies are very similar to what you see at the moment in the supplementary budget that the Minister of Finance presented in June, where he spoke about the need for fiscal discipline and the need to start to control government expenditure and try and lift growth. So it's not a set of conditions that we're not well versed in. We've been hearing these types of things a lot. It's spelled out very clearly in the supplementary budget. It's been conveyed to the IMF. And so that is the undertaking that we are making to the IMF, that we will try and manage this country much better. In terms of the other conditionality, it's obviously a very low interest rate, around 1%. You have a number of years to repay it. So there's not it's not a particularly complicated facility. Obviously, the IMF will monitor what the money gets used for, and they obviously want a high degree of transparency around that use. But you get all of the money up front, and it's given in good faith that you will try and manage the country according to your undertaking.
So in other words, the IMF not imposing conditions, but rather intent on holding government to commitments that have already been made in terms of the supplementary budget and our economic reform announcements.
That's exactly right. So it's a set of reforms that we've already agreed to. Remember when the minister presented the supplementary budget, he had already, prior to that, presented that budget to the cabinet. The cabinet had to approve that, including the president. and that was approved ahead of him delivering the supplementary budget. So in effect, he's speaking on behalf of the government and saying that this is what the government intends to do. That same policy framework is then drafted into a letter that goes to the IMF. And obviously there would be some discussions backwards and forwards with regards to the content of it. But in the end, it's clear that the IMF then accepted the content of that letter. They referred to these policy announcements in the statement that the IMF released. And so there would be some understanding that South Africa intends to implement fiscal discipline and improve economic growth in the manner more or less outlined in the supplementary budget. It's not, it doesn't contain a huge amount of minute detail. It's not a detailed list of policy initiatives. There's nothing like that. It's an overarching undertaking. And so from the IMF's perspective, this is as soft a loan as you can get. This is as limited involvement in the country as you really do have. And so it's regarded as the easiest type of access to IMF funding.
But that said, it does come with a certain amount of, shall we call it, global peer pressure. The fact that there are limited strings, but you do have the IMF looking over your shoulder now to say, are you implementing those reforms and are you doing what you said you were going to do, not the conditions that we imposed? And the weight of the world is on this administration's shoulders on the back of this, surely.
Yes, 100%. So that is really where there is some oversight. Obviously, the IMF evaluates a country like South Africa on a regular basis. They do comprehensive assessments. And obviously, having just extended this facility, they will monitor the use and they will ask for feedback on how the funds are dispersed. And they will obviously be monitoring as to whether South Africa adheres to its letter of intent. Now, that does add extra pressure because, obviously, it's another institution monitoring very closely how South Africa goes about implementing policy. But a little bit more critical than that, it does matter as to any potential future finance. So this facility, for example, can be extended at a later point. If you haven't quite reached the goals that you want to and you need additional finance, there's quite a lot of flexibility around that or other facilities. And obviously the progress in meeting your letter of intent matters hugely if you want to engage further with the IMF. If it's very clear that you have no real intention of trying to manage the economy better, then clearly any subsequent discussion is going to be very difficult. So it's something you don't want to dismiss in terms of the letter of intent. You want to be serious about it, and you want to try your best to achieve that. Obviously, the IMF would recognize that if there are circumstances that prohibit the achievement, there are certain obstacles that appear along the way, then there's a degree of leniency applied to that, but there must be a clear intent and purpose and an attempt to execute policy accordingly.
And given that the interest rate on the loan is likely to be in the region of 1%, it really should be welcomed. But you'd strip away all the ideology of approaching the IMF. At this time, it's a really soft loan. I suppose the only negative is that it's dollar denominated, and considering that the rand has appreciated quite a bit, we're going to be getting fewer rands at today's exchange rate than we would have in, say, March, April. And it also raises our foreign currency borrowing. That's the one thing we have going for us, is that we borrow mostly in our own currency. But on balance, Kevin, would you say this is good or bad for the country?
On balance, I would say it's positive for the country. I think in that debate, you've got to get rid of your particular ideology around the IMF and the IMF's past and how the IMF assists now. I think the IMF as an institution has changed dramatically in recent decades, and it's not the same institution it was. And my following of how they get involved in various countries, I think they make a significant positive difference. Putting that aside, I think there are other benefits to this, one of which is that it is seen as a positive within the investment sector. In other words, foreign investors like to see this type of thing because it's suggesting that this country is serious about trying to implement better policy. It likes to see that there is international support from this type of agency. So I think there is a spin-off benefit to the investor community. I also think that, yes, while it does increase our foreign exposure, it is reasonably cheap. I think we have got some capacity to take on a little bit more foreign debt. And given how much strain the domestic bond market is already under, I don't think we can naively say, oh, well, we'll just fund all of this domestically. There just isn't enough money available to keep doing that. And so this takes a little bit of pressure away from having to raise that $70 billion domestically. No matter how you carve it up, government needs that money. It didn't raise the money just for the hell of it. So it would be then having to raise an additional $70 billion in the domestic market. Already, when you think about it, the government borrows the equivalent of more than 1 billion rand every single day in South Africa, including Saturdays and Sundays. Obviously, they don't borrow on Saturdays and Sundays, but that's what it works out to be. So the government is borrowing a huge amount on a daily basis. This would just add to that, another $70 billion on top of all of it. It's not as if we are spoiled for choice. We've got to get finance where we can, and I think approaching the IMF under these circumstances is not a bad option. The other way to also take to look at it is that we, I think, when I counted up, are the 79th country under the COVID-19 lockdown to apply for to get an IMF funding. In other words, there are many countries that have found themselves in exactly the same position. The IMF has certainly been trying to help. And so it is not being seen as a distinct area of weakness or some sort of failing. It is understood that many emerging markets, we're not alone, need some support. And that's what the IMF, that's what the IMF's about. That's what it's there. That's what we pay the fees for.
Absolutely. Kevin Lings, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. And thank you very much for stripping away all of the ideological nonsense and putting the IMF loan in context. I think very good news for the country. Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib.